That's all right. So I've got no idea what the time is. Oh, it's 20 past 12, so it's really quite late. So this morning I was like practicing my speech and I was like, oh, it's longer than I thought it was. And I was trying to cut bits out. So, you know, I try not to speak for too long. But it's hard, like after 14 years of being part of this community and with so many precious friends, to all the things that God has done in us and through us, to kind of like summarize it in a speech and say all those different things. So I'm just going to share a few things. You know, I guess when you first start, it's funny because Pete and I were walking over together. Oh, where's Pete? There. And Pete was like, how do you feel? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I said, when I was about to start on the Legion of the Journey, I never would have thought about this day. And I was like saying to Pete, you're going to have this day one time in the future. But yeah, you know, it's that whole thing of trying to like work out how to leave well and what does that actually mean. And when you've sown so much of your life into something, you want to, you know, have agonized over, have I done what I could do to like put stuff in place and raise up disciples of Jesus and all the everything like that to leave well and to move on well. And, you know, it's been a really long transition time. I don't know whether it's been too long, but it's been long. And I just want to say a massive thank you to the amazing Journey Leadership team, as well as all the rest of you who have been amazing in this time. You know, they have sought to make decisions that are good for the journey and for the people God has sought to serve in Enkerfield Green, as well as supporting Pete as he prepares to step up in the role. And you guys have also supported me in an amazing way. Many of you listened to my emotional rants at various points over the months, not just in the Journey Leadership team, but elsewhere, as I've gone on this like roller coaster journey. And I just want to say thank you so much. You know, I love the fact that as a leadership team, we're all friends, and that we have been able to have very honest and robust conversations as we've led together and, you know, be absolutely real and very passionate, and it's not affected our friendships. And that is always my heart, is to have a leadership team that's like that. And this team has been like that. And so I want to say a massive thank you to you guys for that. You're awesome. So let's just give the team a little clap. And I kind of want to say something about each individual on the team, but I don't know if I'm going to have time to, so we'll see as we go. You know, it's a strange thing being a church leader, because it's a huge privilege, but really and truly, it's just one role of many roles within the body of Christ. You know, we are all part of the body of Christ. Not just here in Enkerfield Green, but around the world. And God has given each of us a gift to play. And, you know, when we choose to show up and bring our gift, everybody benefits. And when we choose to hold back from bringing that gift, everyone suffers in it. And so, you know, I could very easily stand up here and talk about every one of you here and about who you are, how amazing you are, and what you've contributed to this church community. But I haven't got time to do that. But I've still done it. Ooh. So, Charlotte, do you want to be my assistant? Under there is a little bag. Thank you very much. I have actually written all of you a card. Got some pictures of us together on the front and some things. And I've written you all a personal message. And it's not everything that I feel about each of you or things that I feel God is saying about you. But it's just a little something as my way of affirming each of you, because I can't do it here from the front. So in this speech, I'm going to share a little few stories, some reflections from the past 14 years, some hopes for the future. And the first thing I want to say is that church is messy. Yeah, we expect it not to be messy because we think it's the place where God dwells. It's his holy people that are set apart from him. So therefore, it must be perfect, or perfect by our own personal definition of perfection, of course, if we're honest. But it isn't perfect. It's messy. And it's messy because me and you are part of it. And, you know, I think when I first became church leader, my dad would often quote to me, I don't know if you remember this, Proverbs 14 verse 4, which in the Passion's translation says, "The only clean stable is an empty stable. If you want the work of an ox and to enjoy an abundant harvest, you'll have a mess or two to clean up." And that is so true. It is messy. And so when I share with you some of the things that I feel have been distinctives of the journey and great things that have happened over the past 14 years, you know, don't judge them about whether or not they have always been perfect or they're currently perfect, because they're really not. They're messy, very messy. But as Michelle reminds us, I was actually going to get this prophetic art out that I forgot to, that Michelle did, a great painting we've got in the prayer room. And it says, "Royal in the Mess." And it's so true. Church is messy, but our identity in Christ, we're royal in the mess. So as Jonathan said, you know, this kind of journey, and the journey in a way, started back when we were Royal Holloway and God was doing amazing things. Great, Pete's got the art. That's good. Thank you. You know, we saw God do amazing things. We saw people getting passionate about God, people becoming Christians. And it was into that context that God spoke about us setting up something like the journey. We didn't really understand exactly what God was saying. It's always very easy to look back retrospectively and say, God said, da-da-da-da-da. That's not usually how God speaks. It's usually a wrestling, trying to work out what God is saying. But into that context, God was speaking to me personally, as I find, and I'm sure that you will share the same things, that when God is wanting to do something, he calls you first to lay down your life for him, because we're called as disciples of Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for us, and he calls us to lay down our lives for him and for the people that he's called us to serve. And that was how it started for me, that God was asking me, you know, will you give your life to this place? You know, I loved being a student, but I remember having a conversation with one of my friends at uni saying, it's great to be here as a student, but never live here beyond it. Nothing's happened. It's boring. Da 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 da. So, you know, God spoke into that. And, you know, Jesus says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And I know that's true. There is a cost to being a disciple of Jesus. And it is painful at times, but it is also worth it, because the joy that you get is so much more than what would have happened if you didn't. So in, I just want to say a few little thank yous to some people who wouldn't normally get a chance to say thank you to in Oscar speech style. First of all, I want to say thank you to Daphne. Daphne here, who not many of you will know, is an amazing lady. When I left university, I lodged with Daphne. And she totally believed in me. She believed in God's call on my life. She believed in what God was saying about the journey. And she totally supported me to happen, particularly the year before the journey started, which was a really difficult time. Daphne's a real prayer warrior and very generous. And I'm, like, really grateful to God for you for supporting me in that way. And since, so thank you very much. So I just want us all to give a little clap to Daphne. She's an unsung hero, so I wanted to say something. I also want to say thank you to my family. You know, it's very scary when your 23-year-old daughter tells you she wants to leave her job to start a church. But which was scary for my mum and dad at the time, I'm sure. but actually, the whole reason I was open to it in the first place was because my mum and dad obviously introduced me to Jesus. But not just that, they, in what they exposed us to and how they talked, showed us that following Jesus wasn't just going to a boring Sunday meeting, you know, but it was actually an adventure. And something of great things that happened in the past and were happening around the world. And so I think that was like a really great thing for us growing up, that following Jesus was an exciting adventure. And I feel like you showed us that, so thank you. And my sister and Ish, who can't be here because he's at work, thank you for your amazing support. And Charlotte and Alicia, who are always available for fun and dance parties. So we've got the Oscar speeches out of the way. I shall move on. Hopefully not taking up too much time. So, as has been said, I'm not going to say some of the things because some of them have already been said. You know, we started off, me and Tom and Phil and Tracy moved into a house together. That house was amazing. We saw parties. We had our Sunday gatherings there. We saw God do stuff. Diana said where is Diana? I always quote Diana as the first person to become a Christian at the journey. And also, what God has done in your whole family. And it's great to have your mum and dad here. And, you know, to me, I just always think of it because it's an encouragement to me of what God does in meeting whole families. So I'm really great that you guys are here today. Thank you for coming. Community has always been a massive part of what we've sought to build as the journey. And when we first started, it was easy to build community because everybody was basically the same. You had students and us old 24-25 year olds, and it was easy to build community, and we had so many fun times. But obviously, as it's gone on, it becomes harder. Now we've got a range of different ages, people in different stages of life, married, single, young children, older children, grandchildren, people from different backgrounds, and that can make community harder to build at times. And it looks different to how it has done before. And some of us here are disappointed it's not how it used to be. Some of us are loving how it is now. But what I will say is that community is one of the biggest strengths of the journey. It's not perfect. Of course, in community can be painful at times because we unintentionally hurt each other and we have to offer forgiveness. But I've seen community transform people's lives and people sitting here, how God has used it. And you've shared stories about how I've had a part to play in that. But I'm not the only person. All of you have been part of it in loving different people. And community is a gift from God of how God's purposes for the earth get outworked. And it's not just the community we have among us as a church, but as we give that community away to the people living here in the Forest Estate and in this village and wherever we find ourselves, it blesses people. A community without conditions, but just welcoming and offering the love of God. And I see that we've sought to do that. It's been messy. It's not been perfect, but God has worked through it. And just for a bit of comedy, to share this story, which is an example of community. Some of you know these details, some of you may not know all of them. So a few years ago now, I think it was about 4 years ago, Rich and Linda, who can't be here today, gave Emma, who also isn't here because she's got a wedding, a car for free. And it was Emma, I think it was the first car that Emma had ever had that was her car. And so it was a very happy time for Emma. And I was thinking about getting rid of my car and maybe having a car share. And Emma was like, you can do a car share for me, with me. I was like, great. So I went on Emma Assurance. And 2 weeks later, after Emma had just received this gift of a new car, I had a lapse in concentration and crashed her car, writing it off. And it was my fault. It was the horriblest feeling in the world to think, not only have I crashed a car, but it's not even my car, it's Emma's car. And she's only had it for a couple of weeks. Every morning when I woke up for the next while, I was just had this horrible, sick feeling. But Emma, the gracious woman that she is, her first response was to check I was okay. She let me go on the insurance of her next car. Fortunately, that car was fine. About a year ago, I decided actually I'm not going to have a car at all. So I came off Emma's car share. Last month, I had a lot of things going on that it would be easier to have a car. So Emma said, yeah, you can go on my insurance. This is now another new car, third car. And I went to the beach one day, feeling really stressed. I was like, I just need to get out of Ingerfield Green. And I went to the beach and I was like, oh, how restorative the sea and the sand are. I've had such a wonderful day by myself. I'm so happy. Driving back to Ingerfield Green. And then I'm coming out of a roundabout and bang, a car goes into the back of me. I was like, I can't believe it. And I was like, I know I didn't do anything wrong. I'm sure I didn't do anything wrong. You know, thinking, oh my goodness, did I do something wrong? I'm really sure I didn't. And so I get out of the car and this guy in his nice Porsche convertible, he came out. I was like, and he was like, I'm so sorry. My foot slipped on the accelerator. And I said to him, I was like, I just hope the car's not written off because it's not mine. You know, that's all I could think of. And again, I phoned up Emma. And I said to her, it's probably really bad that I say to you this first, but you won't believe what's happened, but I must say it wasn't my fault. I just had a car accident in your car. And again, Emma was very gracious. And you know what happened? The car got written off. Two cars written off. And Emma still let me drive the courtesy car. I was very, very nervous. So pleased when I returned it in one piece. But, that's a bit funny, but it shows the kind of community, the strengths of community that we have. On Sunday, Pete's car wouldn't start. We were about to go to Marlow for River together. Diane and Luke, they lent Pete one of their cars. You know, they seem very insignificant things, but they're very powerful. You know, community brings fun, but it also brings security. And room to grow. Just working out what I can cut out because I'm aware we're, time is ticking on. You know, baptisms over the years have been a real great joy, and it's been great to have them in the home of Ken and Jill, good friends of mine. And I know that lots of you here have been baptized there, and that's a really special place for you. You know, the first ever baptisms were Charlotte, Catherine, Diana, Ruth, Rose Blow, who's not here. You know, that baptism sticks out the most in my mind because it was the first. And I just remember thinking, yes, this is what it's all about. I mean, I'm pretty sure that a lot of the stories started off with, I came to the journey and then I broke up with my boyfriend. I was thinking, oh no, all these guests who aren't Christians are going to think you joined the journey and then you break up with your boyfriend. But that seems to be a massive part of people's stories. Those have been very special times. You know, reaching out to students, that was where we started, and it's grown beyond that. But as we've moved here into the hub, the fact that we have partnership now with Royal Holloway with volunteering, that has opened up so many opportunities to be friends with people, to serve together, but also to be able to share what motivates us in Jesus. You know, I've had opportunities to share it on the university radio station. Because they trust us and have a relationship with us, they're happy to hear what our motivation is, and that's been a great joy. Setting up this hub personally was one of the hardest things I think I've done in my life, but it is the best thing. And then Denise, where is Denise? There she is. Denise then becoming the manager has just been awesome. And, you know, I have to do a shout out for Denise because she is amazing. You know, everything which I hated doing for the hub because it was so not playing to my strength, Denise loves. And since Denise has been the manager since 2015, she has just taken it on and it's so awesome. And you are a joy to work with. And I know that you give yourself sacrificially for it. And, you know, what God is wanting to do to bless this place with the hub has only just begun. And so I encourage you, as you work out with Pete and others, what it looks like in the next season, to just see what God is doing. Because it was the prophetic word of God and dreams that led us to here in the first place. So that's very important. And of course, winning the Queen's Award was amazing and very unexpected. So I'm coming to the end, having cut a few things out. You know, a few weeks ago, me and Catherine and Faith were going for a walk, and she asked me what my hopes were for the future of the journey. And actually, I mean, I shared with her my hopes, but I feel like they're summed up in this Bible passage, which was very important when we started, and is as important now, and it's Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. Every believer was faithfully devoted to fellowship, the teaching of the apostles. Their hearts were mutually linked to one another, sharing communion and coming together regularly for prayer. A deep sense of holy awe swept over everyone, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers were in fellowship as one body, and they shared with one another whatever they had. Out of generosity, they even sold their assets to distribute the proceeds to those who were in need among them. Daily, they met together in the temple courts and in one another's homes to celebrate communion. They shared meals together with joyful hearts and tender humility. They were continually filled with praises to God, enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were coming to life. And so I encourage you as I leave to look up. You know, it's easy to have our eyes focused on ourselves, but let's look up to God. Let's have that as our primary focus and the lens which we see life through and make our decisions through. Participate. Don't be a consumer. You know, church isn't about just how we want to have a good time together, but this is also about showing up and being who God has created us to be. Honor one another. You know, it's really easy. Obviously, we don't, it's not like we're all doing it, but it's easy to criticize one another, but we want to build each other up and, you know, get behind Pete. He needs your amazing encouragement in this next season. He needs you to be behind him. You know, Pete is awesome. I'm really glad he's going to lead the journey. He's a total man of integrity. He's committed to people. He's committed to God. And he can only do this with you guys being behind him. So get behind him. And don't give up on the dream of seeing more of God's kingdom coming. Here in the Forest State, at Royal Holloway, throughout this village, in Ethiopia. Are the pinions there? Yes, they're in the kitchen. You know, don't give up on that dream. And I'm going to say my final thank yous, you'll be pleased to know, coming to land. I want to say thank you to all of you. You know, I've learned so much from every one of you. You may not realize that, but it's true. Having you part of my life through the good times and the difficult times, my life is richer for it, for you guys being a part of it. And I really do mean all of you, so no one discount themselves from that. You know, I'm cheering you on. I'm excited to hear what God does as you join with him in this next chapter of the journey. And I didn't have time to say thank you to everybody, but I feel like another person I need to personally thank is Tom. You know, Tom has been here since the beginning. He's a great friend. And we both know what it's been like to pay the cost over these last 14 years of the church. And you know, Tom has brought so much to all of us and to me personally as a friend. We love your pastoral heart and your prophetic gifts. And Tom has listened to me moan and groan at points and been very patient, just a great support. Obviously, for a lot of that time, Tom has been a deputy leader. So I just want to say thank you so much for being an awesome leader, but also a great friend. You know, I really appreciate it. There's much more I can say, but that's just it for now. And the last most important thank you is, of course, to God. You know, I want to say thank you to God for who he is, the opportunity to adventure with him in Enfield Green, and for his kindness and faithfulness in never leaving us. And, you know, ultimately, this is all for his glory, really. And so I just want to say a massive thank you to God. So I probably missed out a whole load of things that I should have said that I didn't say, and I apologise for that. But you've already been listening to me for a long time, so I shall hand back to Tom.